Amen. We learned here that Hosanna means save us, Lord. That was past tense. Today is hallelujah. Amen. We are changed forever. If you don't understand what forever is, we are changed eternally. Hallelujah. It's an everlasting thing. It's too late already. Our sins forgiven. Oh, forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
We paid the price.
My sins forgiven.
My sins forgiven.
Forever I am free.
Forever I am free.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's have our seat. Glory to Jesus. Because if we continue, huh? Hallelujah. Amen. Today we are going to look at a topic I titled The Believer's Adventure. Amen. The Believer's Adventure. You know, at this time in our life, we receive Jesus into our life, and all the code of conduct that you are used to have been changed. And sometimes some people find it difficult to adapt. So it's actually a journey. It's a belief. It's an adventure for every believer. Amen. Amen. The believer's adventure. I said, in every endeavor or practices, we find ourselves to succeed in that practices, one of the things we must pursue is knowledge. Amen. One of the things we must what? Chase is what? Knowledge. Because without knowledge in that endeavor, without knowledge in that practices you are into, there's every tendency that you will not succeed. Hallelujah. Amen. So the more knowledgeable you are in a particular field of study or particular practices, the more better expert you become. Hallelujah. The more what? An expert or a master you become in that field. So what made you a master in that field is because of what? The acquisition of knowledge that you have. So knowledge is what? Important. Today we can say one mechanic is better than another mechanic because of what? The other one that is better knows something far better than the other person. Am I communicating? So the difference between the two mechanics is what? Knowledge. Today we can also say that a mechanic cannot be a doctor. Or if maybe somebody is sick, you won't take that person to who? A mechanic. You will take that person to who? A doctor. Because a doctor is the one that is knowledgeable in that field. A doctor is the one that is trained in that field, not the mechanic. Hallelujah. Amen. So even in the practices of medicine, that doctor field again, there is still one that is preferable than the other. The different is what? Knowledge. Hallelujah. So, the same way in our pursuit as a believer, in our Christian faith, one thing that we must chase with all our life is knowledge. Knowledge. Paul, after 30 years of ministry, still say one thing, that he may know him, that I may know you, that I may know you. Knowledge. Knowledge is key. Knowledge is key. The greatest pursuit of a believer should be knowledge. Hallelujah. The greatest pursuit of any believer should be knowledge. If you see a believer that is better than you, probably in the things of the spirit, is because the person has an understanding concerning that fact than you do. So knowledge is key. Knowledge is important. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Now, in search for knowledge, there is a knowledge for that believer to search for, not every kind of knowledge. Hallelujah. Somebody in the field of medicine will not go in and maybe try to understand what or how a car is built up. That is irrelevant. Amen. Because the body you are going to treat, the body you are going to work on, is not a mechanical body. Amen. Somebody in the field of mechanic will not go and start looking of how does the body or how does this hand connect to the joint here. No. He needs to what? Get trained in the field of what? That mechanic. So that he can be better. So there is a knowledge that the believer must pursue. Not every kind of knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the man in Christ, that is why the man in Christ, the believer, must guard himself from the kind of knowledge he received. We are in the world. There are many things happening around us. So you have every responsibility as a believer to guard yourself from the kind of knowledge that comes to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there are some knowledge that you get that will stagnate you. It will stagnate your Christian life for a long period of time. For instance, there are some people, they find it difficult to understand the fact that the happenings of the world today is not caused by God. Am I communicating? There are some people that when they see an accident happening, they will say, well, it's God that permits it. Or it is God's will. Like the Hausa folks, they will say, Allah niyakao. Amen. That is a very wrong kind of knowledge to have as a believer. Amen. So the person that understand that didn't just understand that it came by what? Knowledge. That these things that happen is not to God's glory, neither is it permitted by God's will. Hallelujah. So there must be a kind of knowledge that we must allow. There must be a kind of knowledge that we must what? Allow. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are going to go through the scriptures today and see how one individual is better than the other individual because of knowledge, or how they respond to God because of knowledge. See, knowledge controls everything about the believer. There is a way somebody will respond to God different from the way another person will respond to God. Hallelujah. Amen. What makes that person different is what? Knowledge. There's a way another person will pray to, when you have two people, there's a way this person will pray to God different from the way another person will pray to God. The different factor there is what? It's knowledge. Simple. Hallelujah. Amen. So knowledge is key. Like I said, the greatest pursuit of any believer, every believer, should be what? Knowledge. Hallelujah. So we are going to look at the children from the Bible. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Let's see. We'll start from the Old Testament, then we'll dive into the New Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll see some scenarios, things that happens to the children of Israel because of wrong information, wrong knowledge they acquired about God. Are we there? Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to open a lot of scriptures today. Numbers chapter 13. Are we there? So, verse 1, of course, we're going to read together. And I'll take one, or you take one, take two, and then three. So, we're taking from 1 to 3. So, verse 1. Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler among them. Verse 3. Okay, verse 25 now. Jump to 25. And they return from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 26. Verse 27 says, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Remember, wait. They said what? It flowed with what? Milk and what? Honey. Now, as a result of that, this is what? The fruit of it. Verse 28. Okay, verse 29 now says, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30. Hallelujah. Amen. So look at the analysis the children of Israel gave. We'll still come back to verse 30. But from stopping at verse 29, you see the analysis they give. The how terrible it is for them to go there and possess the land. Hallelujah. Amen. So they gave a detailed report of what happened, what they saw, and everything. It might be true. But one thing you must understand as a believer is that true is not reality. Hallelujah. What you see might not be the truth at all. Amen. Amen. So, look at what Caleb did. Caleb tried to what? To stop them. Caleb was among the people that went to go and search for the land. Are we together? But what did he do? He tried to what? To stop them. So, if you see the information given, the children of Israel gave an information, but Caleb gave a contrary information. Caleb did not deny the fact that that land was mounted by all manner of armies. But what did he say? He said he stole them. What does it mean to steal? He tell them to stop. Because there are something you hear that fear will just grip on you. I don't know if it has happened to you before. You are normal. You are doing okay. You are just moving on. And immediately somebody just pass an information to your ear and say, this is what happened. This is what. You just start sweating immediately. What caused the difference is because of the information that you have received. Hallelujah. Amen. So he tried to stop them. To be still means to be silent. To be still means to command to be silent. Stop. Because what you are saying does not edify these people. What you are saying does not encourage these people. Now, let's see what happened from verse 31. Verse 31, he says, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. Okay. Men of what? Great stature. Now, verse 3, he said, and there we saw the giants. You see that kind of information. The son of Anak, which come to the giants, and we were in our own sight. Is it the giant that told them that information? In fact, they have conceived it in their own heart that they were in their own sight as what? Grasshopper. For God's sake, how little can you be to that extent? Amen. And so, we were in their sight. Is that what they told you? They confirm it. They have affirmed it that they were like that in their sight too. Like saying the Anak came and tell them, you are like grasshopper before also. That is the information they work with. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you can see contrary information. Now, let's see the results of the information they gave. Go to chapter 14. Now, we'll list out the result of what? The wrong information. So that is why the believer should not allow every kind of knowledge. The believer should not allow every kind of knowledge. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. What is that? Condemnation. Were they crying before? have the Anak arrived to come and destroy them, but they have cried already. So the wrong information has led to what? Condemnation. Are we together? Verse 2, let's read. Okay. Okay. And wherefore had the Lord brought us unto the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children, oh God, imagine the detailed information here. Our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Verse 4. So, what was the result of verse 3? What did you see there? They what? They murmured. Murmuring. First information, it led to what? Condemnation. The second output was what? They murmured. In verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to what? Egypt. Into what? Back to captivity. That is what? Division. Hallelujah. Were they like this before the information came? No. This was as a result of the information they received. Are we together? So, it led to what? Division. So, that is why I said, there are some information you might hear or listen to that will now start to deny the fact of what Christ has done for you. Yes. There are some things you receive, you will now start questioning the reality or the truth about God's redemption. Hallelujah. Bible says you are forgiven forever. When you now start asking questions, what about the sins that I'm going to commit tomorrow? That is as a result of what? Wrong information. You were fed with that information. You were not an empty vessel. You might not be fed directly, but it came as a result of what? Influence. Hallelujah. Amen. So, knowing such information led to what we call depression at the end of the day. But see Joshua's response again. Verse 5, please. Everybody. Sorry. Verse 5 again. Verse 6 now says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, that searched the land, rent their clothes. Verse 7. Okay. Now, it's an exceeding what? Good land. Should we call that a good report? Remember, the previous report was what? An evil report. Okay, verse 8. Read verse 8. If the Lord delights in us. Verse 9 together. It says, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread to us, and their defense is departed from us, and the Lord is with us. Fear not. Hallelujah. You see the information now. Only rebel not. Only rebel not. You said we were like grasshopper and hopper before them. But Caleb and Joshua are saying they are bread to us. Which one is more sweeter? Hallelujah. Amen. So, you see the kind of information they gave. Now, the question is, why will Caleb and Joshua give that kind of information? Did it just come as a vision or as a revelation? Hallelujah. Why will Caleb and Joshua give that kind of information? Why? That tells you they know something, they knew something about God before that. Hallelujah. They have allowed some certain good information about God to fill up their heart. What the children of Israel are saying, is it a lie? No. But they say this reality is not the truth. And they give a contrary information, a good report. Now let's see why. Exodus 17.
Exodus 17. Your Bibles, please. With me, your Bible, your Bible, your Bible. Exodus 17. Are we there? So, Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us among men, choose us out men, and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10. Good. Go to verse 13 immediately. Verse 13 says, and Joshua did what? Discomfited the Amalek and his people and with the edge of the sword. Verse 14. Hallelujah. So Joshua knew something about what God can do. Joshua understands God. He has a knowledge of what God has been doing and what he can do. So what they saw was never a limitation. They were filled up already with knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. So now, because of what Joshua understands and Caleb, see what happened later. Of course, see, knowledge actually, it leads to wrong confession. And if you're not careful, what you keep confessing might come. Hope you know it's not God's will. But by confessing it, what are you doing? You are permitting it already. Hallelujah. Are we together? By confessing it, what are you doing? You are permitting it. So Numbers chapter 14, verse 30. Go back to Numbers 14, 30. Numbers 14, 30. Are we there? So verse 30, it said, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Read the last part. What did he say? Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and what? Joshua, the son of what? Nun. You see the differences now. Hallelujah. So knowledge fuels what we say. Joshua and Caleb did not just say it. It came as a result of what? Knowledge. And that is what fuels what we say. Amen. So if you understand God, you say the right things. If you don't understand God, you say what? The wrong things. That is why when somebody is afflicted, maybe with one kind of sickness or the other, he say it is God that allowed it. It is God's will. Because the person does not understand who God is. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's go to another place. See the life of Job again. You know, we've studied Job a lot here. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Are we there? The book of Job. The book of Job. Chapter 1. Verse 20. Yeah, verse 20. We'll see a lot again about Job. You know, what Job kept saying again and again and again was as a result of wrong knowledge. And some things that Job said, even in that wrong knowledge, are being repeated by some believers today. The Lord give it. The Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At that one. It's terrible. Hallelujah. So, please, everybody, open your Bible. Job chapter 1, verse 20. Now, I'll take 20. He said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Verse 21. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Imagine. Wrong confession. Job 2 again, verse 20. So Job 2, verse 10. I'll take from verse 9. He said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die now. Verse 10, what did he say? In all this, is well. Job chapter 6. Are you seeing what Job is saying now? Job chapter 6. Job 6, I'll take from verse 1. But Job answered and said, oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it will be heavier than the sand of the sea. Can you imagine? Therefore, my words are swallowed up. Verse 4. Is there any oppression more than this again? He said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me, inside of me, arrows tearing him apart. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. There's no escape. The terror of God do set themselves in array against me. Is there any other way of escape again? That is Job's confession. Now, let's see what wrong confession is. In fact, go to Job chapter 7. Please, I want you to be alert here, please. Job chapter 7, are we there? Are we there? Okay, I'll take 1, 2, and then we'll continue like that. He said, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of the hailing and hailing? Verse 2. So am I made to possess mouths of vanity, and wearing some nights are appointed unto me? Verse 4. My flesh is clothed with worms. Job's flesh is clothed with worms and clothed of dust. His skin is broken and becometh what? Loathsome. It's a serious thing. Because serious, when you read some things there, I'm serious, you get scared. He has so much lyrics when it comes to the negative thing. The guy is detailed in the negative direction. Hallelujah. Verse 6 together, please. Okay. See their life. His days now. Okay. So the eyes. Okay. They say we should read Bible. Okay, we'll read Bible now. The eyes of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thy eyes are upon me, and I'm not. Okay, verse 9. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. Verse 11. Is a deliberate thing. I will. Am I a sea or a whale that thou seated a watch over me? Verse 13. Okay. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through vision. Verse 15. So that my slow and dead rather than my life, I loathe it. I will not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Verse 17. And that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. You know, he added that. Okay. Verse 19. I have seen. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? Imagine. Verse 21. Now, please, because of so much confession, look at verse 8, chapter 8. Somebody has to just say, oh, but it's too much. Then answered Bilal and the Shuhite and said, how long will thou speak these things? And how long shall thy words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? It's too much. The whole chapter, negative confession. Hallelujah. Verse 3, doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, there is another one again, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though the beginning was small, yet the later end greatly should what? Greatly increase. Hallelujah. Too much negative confession that somebody has to just say, calm down. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, after all has been said and done, go to Job chapter 42. Amen. Are we there? Okay. So, then Job answered, verse 1, the Lord, and said, verse 2, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, have I uttered that I understood not? Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Verse 4, Verse 5, together, I have heard of thee by the hearing of men, but now my eyes seeth thee. Verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So from verse one, chapter 1 to chapter 41, it was all nonsense. And this is the same scripture that people use. Not people, let me stop using the word people. Pastors, reverend use. The Lord give it. The Lord take it away. All manner. Hallelujah. So what fueled that negative confession? It was because of the wrong knowledge he had about God. Hallelujah. Amen. So all the calamity and everything he was saying, it was all because of what? The wrong knowledge he had about God. Amen. So now looking at the epistle, the domain of knowledge. Hallelujah. Looking at where? The epistle. The epistle laid so much emphasis on knowledge. So much emphasis on knowledge. So much emphasis on knowledge. Now, before we get there, let's see Jesus' attitude towards knowledge. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Quickly, so we are going to open a lot of scripture today. You know, some people are happy, pastor is not around, but unfortunately, there will be long service today. Amen. I said amen. Don't worry. Answer or not, you are here. Hallelujah. So Luke 2, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and what? Answers. Hallelujah. He was sitting with what? In the midst of doctors. You know what doctors is now? Doctors in a particular field. Asking them questions. And people were amazed in the way he answers questions, in the way he understands things. Why? That means Jesus also what? Quest for knowledge. And the result of his knowledge were seen even in his early age. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4:22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is it not Joseph's son? Hallelujah. So according to the physical, they didn't expect Joseph's son to give this kind of knowledge. Hallelujah. So they were so astonished to say, is it not what? Joseph's son. Matthew chapter 7, quickly please. Matthew 7. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus has ended this saying, the people were what? Astonished at his what? Doctrines. Doctrines. Talking about teachings. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. Hallelujah. So, people were what? Astonished. People were what? Astonished. We see his attitude towards knowledge. And this should be the attitude of every believer too. Knowledge. Quest for knowledge. You must seek to know. You must seek to know. Hallelujah. Amen. You must seek to know. We must go out for knowledge so we can be masters. Of course, good teachers of the word are always good word learners of God's word. Amen. Good teachers of the word are always what? Good students of God's word. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you see, Pastor Nanka, for instance, explaining some things, you'll be wondering, but I've read through this place again and again, and I never saw that. They paid so much attention to do things. What you think is not relevant? Is it not Joseph's son? As small as that you think is not relevant, they can bring out things from that place, and you'll be shocked. Why? They paid good attention to God's word. Hallelujah. So this should be the attitude of what? The believers also. So now let's go to the epistles. Now, the greatest prayers that Paul ever prayed in the epistles were strictly on knowledge. The greatest prayers he has ever prayed in the epistles were strictly for what? Knowledge. To know God. He prayed for himself to know God. He prayed for others to also what? Know God. See, because if you don't understand God, Job says, he said his life was like what? To and fro. Simple pendulum. You go here, you come back again. You go here, you come back again. All as a result of what? Not understanding God. There is a great relief. There is great freedom, liberty, when you understand God. I'm telling you, some things that you struggle with a lot, once you understand God, your heart is just free. And you will communicate better. Once you understand God, you will pray better. Pastor Joy was telling us about, steps in prayer, talking about Thanksgiving. You want to pray, you must always say, thank you for this, that we wake up in the night. Is it in the night? Okay, we woke up in the morning, went to bed in the night, wake up in the morning, and all of that. Hallelujah. People, if they don't pray that way, they can't proceed. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, somebody just got to understand what tongues is. If you don't teach that person detail, that just the way you stand up and speak your language, you can also speak in tongues like I say, just like that. Why? Because of knowledge. So knowledge is key. We must pursue knowledge. We must quest for knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Bumi, I'll ask you to stand up. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Sister Bumi, I'll ask you to stand up very soon. Amen. Ephesians 1:16. It says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in where? The knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened,
that you may know what is the hope of his, of who? His calling. His calling. So it, the emphasis is specific. It's very key there. His calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. And what is what? The exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his what? Mighty power. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what's talking about knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, quick. Ephesians 3. Or let's start from 17. It said that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the length, and height, and to do what? To know the love of Christ, which passeth what? Knowledge. That you may what? Be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So the emphasis for the believer is to know Christ. The knowledge the believer must quest for is the knowledge that concerns what? Christ. Because that is how you became a believer. Hallelujah. That is the person you believe to be saved. Amen. So your quest must be to know what? To know Christ. Amen. Philippians 1:9. He said, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in what? Knowledge and in all judgment. In knowledge and in all judgment. Judgment there means matter. In all matter. In knowledge and in all matter. Concerning Christ. Hallelujah. So this is Paul's desire for the believer. And therefore we must embrace this too. Knowledge. 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 Hallelujah. Knowledge. Knowledge. Let's hear what Peter says concerning knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18. You say what? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior who? Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of what? Our Lord. That means to grow in grace is to grow in knowledge. Hallelujah. Amen. To grow in grace is to grow in what? In knowledge. So this should be our desire too. 1 Corinthians 12:1, he said, brethren, concerning spiritual, I will not want you to be what? Ignorance. Hallelujah. You must not be ignorant. You must not be ignorant. Now, see Ephesians 4 again. One of the reasons why spiritual gift, why we have pastors, we have apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists, and all manner, is for what? Knowledge again. Is to train the believer. And when you are training the believer, what are you doing? You are supplying knowledge. Ephesians 4. Don't get tired though. We're not even close. Ephesians 4. And he gave, verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for what? The perfecting of what? The saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of where? The knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God. So the emphasis is what? The knowledge of the Son of God. So to do the work of ministry, you must understand the knowledge of what? The Son of God. To perfect men, you must perfect them by what? The knowledge of what? The Son of God. So it is clear. Knowledge must be as regards what? Son of God. You can't bring people to church and start teaching them something that they can learn better outside the world. The purpose of the church is to bring up men concerning what? The knowledge of what? The Son of God. So that must be an emphasis. to every believer. We are not saying you don't teach person about something maybe outside the church. No. But what we are angry against is to take a whole Sunday service to start teaching exegesis that concerns the world. Do you understand? The believer is the person that the Christ died for. There is one word that during when Brotulu was teaching on honor, he said the believer, the cost of the believer is the same as what? The blood of Jesus. The believer was purchased by the blood of Jesus. So you bring the believer to church and start teaching something outside church. That is an abuse to redemption. Hallelujah. You can learn that and even learn it better outside the church. Hallelujah. Bringing worldliness inside the church. Amen. So the emphasis is what? Knowledge. Knowledge. 1 Timothy 2. Quickly, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Did you see full stop there? There was a semicolon. He said, who will bring half all men to stay and to do what? To come unto where? The knowledge of the truth. Truth, they're talking about Christ. I am the way, the life, and the truth. Talking about what? Christ. So, your pursuit as a believer must be strictly concerning what? The knowledge of what? The Son of God. Hallelujah. We must desire to grow. And that is what spiritual growth is all about. A man that is grown in Christ. Hallelujah. A man that is grown in Christ. I write here, I said, to know Christ is not a thing of debate. You don't debate it. You are a believer. What else do you want to know? It's not a thing of debate. It's a necessity for every believer. Hallelujah. Because if a believer doesn't understand what Christ has done, doesn't understand, doesn't have the knowledge of Christ, you will send that kind of person to an evangelism. The opportunity you have to turn the person to Christ, you will just miss. Scatter everything. Hallelujah. So he must be trained. He must be trained. So that when he's before the unbeliever, you explain Christ. Hope you know, evangelism is not by force. You must come. It is like this. They ask you, how is Jesus the Son of God? You start saying, Jesus. Somebody say, God pregnanted Mary. You can imagine. Hallelujah. So you must be able to explain that. I'm telling you, because except you are not involved in evangelism, that is why you don't take this thing as casual. When you go for evangelism and they ask you questions, oh God. Do you know those guys? They are intelligent too. And the normal Muslim that you meet on the street knows so much about that thing. He knows so much about the Muslim thing. I do lessons a lot to unbelievers. They don't take that. That's time for Karatu, Islamia, for Joko. If you like, know your physics to heaven. That time must be for what? That Islamia. They don't take it for granted. They pay heavily. All of them will come and sit to listen to Malam. Then the believer will not be the one. It's actually Christians that, a lot of Christians that take this thing as casual. The Christians. Hallelujah. So we must seek for knowledge. We must bring up our children in this. If not, you will just be a piece in the hand of the devil. All the things that have been happening to Job, you know, devil was behind the scene. You just kick him. Two, you will come back again, kick him again, to and fro. Did we see devil there? No. And Job was ascribing everything to who? To God. Because he didn't know. Hallelujah. I think you see, as the pastor said, when you see an evil or maybe an accident happen somewhere and you ascribe the glory, it is the glory of the devil, you now ascribe it that this is God. You give the devil the opportunity to do what? Another one. So the believer must seek to know. I'm telling you, he must seek to know. Okay. For instance, we know already that the Bible teaches that all things belong to who? The believer. Check Romans 2, 8, 32. Romans 8, 32. Are we there? He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are what? Yours. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know all things that are freely given to us in God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1. Quickly, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby we are given unto exceeding great and precious promises, that by this you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through where? Lust. So you read all these things. What should be your next action? Is to begin to search to know those things. It's to begin to search to know those things. Amen. It's to begin to search to know those things. You must understand those things very well. You must understand them. Amen. So the man that is born again is not asking God for those things. They actually belongs to him already. So what will he do? He must begin to find out. He must begin to find out. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Not power. Not energy. But lack of what? Knowledge. You might have all the resources you have, but because there is no knowledge, what happened? You perish. Hallelujah. So once again, the greatest pursuit of every believer must be knowledge. It must be knowledge. Philemon 6. Are we there? Philemon 6. It says that the communication of thy faith may become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Which is in you in Christ Jesus. Paul teaches here that the believer must communicate or share his faith by knowledge. You must communicate or share your faith by what? Knowledge. Pastor have taught us a lot that in the place maybe where you go out for evangelism, from any scripture the person come up with, you should be able to teach salvation from there. From any scripture.
Hallelujah. He takes you to the Old Testament, explain Jesus to him. He brings you to the gospel, explain Jesus to him. Because these guys, they know this thing. But of course, he's in flesh. Hallelujah. He's in flesh. We've gone for evangelism before. Of course, after sharing, I said, not here. That was then back in school. And there's this lady. I used to tell them, see, for me, whatever you are doing as the believer, try and understand that thing from God's word. I think Brother Andrew can bear witness then. And she went, of course, where trouser? Is it bad? No. The person said, well, I won't listen to you because I don't like people that wear trouser. What do you think that person should do at that point? Eh? What do you think that person should do at that point? You start from there. The person says, I will not listen to you because I don't like people that wear trousers. That means you have a responsibility at that point to make that person understand, and then from there you teach Christ. Ah. Do you understand? So you must be taught that way. You must be taught that way. Not that you just be doing because everybody is doing. And they ask you now, you have an opportunity to save somebody, but you couldn't. And it was a blow. Pastor, I was looking for you. Why must you be looking for Pastor when you have the same spirit Pastor has? I won't even be there. Hallelujah. You must understand these things. You must be trained in the things of the spirit. There are people you meet to teach God's word. They will not listen to you. You go into word of key. Hallelujah. It has happened to us several here in Kuba. These guys will just be forming stubbornness, forming as if you know. Are you somewhere? Say yes. How did you know? Now sit down and listen. Do you understand? There are issues concerning your work. You say yes. So sit down and listen. Amen. So you must be trained, though. Oh God. You must be trained, because if you throw that opportunity, I'm telling you, you will feel bad. You will feel bad. Amen. Amen. Okay, so the word acknowledge, like I said here, is from the Greek word epignosis. 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 It means correct and precise understanding. See, you correct and what? Precise. Head on the nail. Understanding about facts, about events, times, persons. You must understand these things. You must understand these things. Correct and precise understanding about facts, events, times, persons. Amen. Most of us that went to university, except even though you are on serious, when they say exam is coming, you read, though. Abby? Abby? You read. Those days in school, you won't see me reading in the afternoon. Amen. The way I read in the night, even the closest friend close to me doesn't even know that it was me that was seated there reading. Netscape, we'll leak it. It was blocked, then we'll leak. And yes, now, your eyes must be open so that you will be able to convince your lecturer. Have you met a lecturer that said, nobody have gotten an A in my course, and you won't get? Have you met a lecturer that will teach you a course that he does not understand? What will be your state? Yes, now. Quantum physics. He doesn't understand it. So what will be your state? And you need to pass. It's a major course. 3 units. Okay. He's saying hi. Amen. So, if we can give that same attitude to our studies, then the word of God must not be different. Because this is a lifetime. You will retire from all your field of study one day. But what will keep you at that point is what? The word of God. You should be able to communicate that, even at that point. Hallelujah. So that must be what? Our attitude. Thank God for a place like this. The edifying assembly. The building assembly. Hallelujah. A build men. Amen.
Amen. So we must understand that the believer is identified in Christ. So to understand yourself, you must what? Seek those things that you have in what? In Christ. You are identified in Christ. So I write here that therefore, to be effective in our Christian walk is directly proportional to the understanding of what we have in Christ. Being effective in our Christian walk is directly what? Proportional to the understanding we have in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So, because of the lack of understanding of some things in the scripture, has made some believers, some churches, build a tent around that thing, some practices in church today. So we're going to look at those two practices, like two practices, then we are done for today. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you are sleeping, please wake up. So number one, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Who has taken the Lord's Supper here before? Regular customer. The Lord's Supper. Well, what a lot assumed to be communion service. Amen. You know, there are class of people. Oh God. Is well though. Okay. The Lord's Supper. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are we there? 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord's Supper. Communion. You know, in the Catholic then, I used to have, you know, Brother Mike now, that came during some of our long prayers then. Those Catholic folks then. Serious ones. They have rank then. They are the ones that prepare communion in court. They will eat, flex with the drink. And that same communion is what some are scared to go and take because they felt they are sinner. Meanwhile, these folks behind the scene have eaten enough, and you get the point. You are high. It's true. You are high. Amen. So verse 17. 11:17. It said, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for what? The worse. For first of all, when I come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Of course, he said that because of their practices. They don't behave like the ones that comes to eat. I think we've had that here in this church before now. I don't think there will be anyone again because the way we are going. Verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and the other what? Drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. You know, this is what led to that practice is now. Amen. But unfortunately, thank God for the Corinthian church, a lot was explained there. I hope you know. A lot of practices was explained there. But the purpose why they were doing it has led, why they copied that thing from the gospel and they were doing it in court, thinking that that is what the purpose is in the first place. But their own purpose is actually different. It's causing division. Amen. It's causing division. People like, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke bread and said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup, when he supped,
saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26 together, please. So as often as you drink this, it shows what? The Lord's death. Verse 27, continue, please. Verse 2. Verse 3. 34. Amen. Hallelujah. So back to 17. He said, now this, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that when you come together, when ye come together not, for what? Better, but for what? Worse. Of course, you must understand this, that every gathering of the believer is for the better. Every gathering of what? The believer is for what? The better. We gather for what? The better. Amen. Not for the worst. Even in the place of rebuke, you are being rebuked for what? To be better. Hallelujah. So every gathering of the believer is for what? The better. But the gathering of these guys here is now for what? The worst instead of what? The better. Amen. Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be what? Division among you. And I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So you can see now, in their gathering here, there is division. The working class, the ones that are not working, the rich and the poor, they that have and they that does not have, they were doing the class gospel. Hope you know this thing is happening in some churches today. Especially women. Hope you know. Women fellowship. Them that, yes, now my upper now. You should know better now. Why are you looking at me as if say like yes, God bless you. Them that have the Hollandis and them that have the what? The fake, no, it's the fake one. Print, super print. I how do they call it there? You know there is division among them. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. There is division already among them. And in eating of it, if you observe the churches that practice this, there are some guys that will not want to go and take because they failed, they are sinners. And you that have taken, as you are taking it, you are looking at this, see this one. He's a sinner. Division. Something that is meant for what? Edification, the better. Hallelujah. Okay. So, verse 18 to 20, explain why Paul said that in verse 17, that their gathering is for the worse instead of what? The better. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's hurry up. We still have one thing to look at before we go. This is one of the practices. So, verse 21, let's read together verse 21. Okay, verse 22 say, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Pastor said something about this place. He said, one thing that make this place, in quotes, very popular or important is because of the word, the Lord's Supper. Amen. If it was just supper, to have been normal, Abby, But because they say the Lord's Supper, so that attached much importance to him. And that led to different practices. Amen. So, they are there. Some of them, they are doing it to shame them that have not. Amen. To shame them that have not. And you see that sometimes in some churches or in some gathering of the believers, them that have not are like people that don't know how to serve God. Am I communicating? You come with your jeep and the rest. Why? The other people come with their legs and the rest, legged these bends. It looks as if them do not know how to serve God. So people have gone to some extent using physical thing to use as a measure of service to God. So it means a goodness of God. It means I serve God better, that is why I have this. This other person does not know how to serve God, that is why he doesn't have this. It's really terrible. That some, let me just, I don't know, but let me just say it. You know, some are in the practices of, you are only one person. I experienced those things. And I say, oh God, is it that I'm not serving you well or what? That is the problem. Only you in the car. You wind up. After service. So yes, now it's happening everywhere. All these pictures, they are there. You wind up and you just move. And the way they don't hold their steering like this. So it's like this. I'm telling you. You get the point now. A fellow believer does not even have what to eat. What do you think that person will think? You think he will say he's serving God. The next thing is, oh God, why? Oh God, why? That is murmuring, Abi. The next thing we are setting is condemnation. But you must understand that the believer, oh God, is as important as the rich person who is a believer next to you. They are equal before Christ. That is not a measure. To measure who is serving God and who is not serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there are some practices in the north. If you have stayed in the north before, if you grew up in the north before, every evening, I think even in the middle belt, I don't know of the east, I'm not familiar with those places. Every evening, you will see them come out as in a big village. So they will have mat and the rest. Every man of the house will come and sit in the evening, you know. And the wives and the rest will be sending their children to bring their food together, isn't it? And at that point, both the rich and the poor, they are all seated on the mat. Do you understand? They are all seated on the mat there, and they are eating together and gisting and sharing together. So at that point, even though the poor does not have what to eat, but for the fact that he can come there, he will eat and everybody is equal. That was exactly what happened in that Corinthian church. That is what the Lord's Supper is. Supper is not a word from heaven. Supper means dinner. To sup. Do you understand? It means what? Dinner. Yeah, the Greek word for chop. Bro, Tolu, please leave me alone. Amen. So it's not a word from heaven. It's dinner. English, dinner. It's not even hard like physics. English, dinner. Amen. Food, eating in the way, evening, dinner. So that is what the Lord's Supper is. You come together, we eat together in the evening, dinner. That's what they do. You go to some villages in a particular compound. You know, the way they do their compound is, this compound, they are related. Do you understand? The next compound, they are related. So in each compound, maybe the most elderly person, all the other men will go and converge there, and the wives of those one will bring the food there, and they eat together. That is supper. Hallelujah. That is what? Supper. Okay, we'll explain other things again. Check Luke chapter 14:2. Amen. Luke 14, verse 12, sorry. He said, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner, or what? A supper. Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbor, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. The point there is a dinner or what? A supper. Are we there? Okay. The way you're looking as if I was reading another thing. Okay, go to verse 16. Then said of that same chapter, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great what? Supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidding, come, for all things are now what? Ready to chop. He said he made what? A great supper. That is, you know, the meal is different. A great, great supper. Goat meat and all manner. Supper. Assorted. God will bless you. Amen. Do you understand now? There's nothing attached to it. You will see that in John 13:2 and John 12:2. Amen. So, these practices speaks, of course, if you see them there, like as the story I just gave now, back then in northern places, what does this show? It shows love amidst the brethren. Abi? It shows love among themselves. And in that gathering, if one person choose not to come, it shows there's something that person is holding against somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So it just shows what? Love what? Amidst the brethren. So what does the Lord's Supper communicate? It's just communicating the love of God in our eating together. Shikena. Hallelujah. The love of God in what? Our eating together. But what are we doing here? We're having the Lord's Supper too, Abby. We are eating together. We are fellowshipping together, one and another. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying now? If somebody choose not to, I'm not coming again. You know that something has happened. Abby, that is when you now start asking, what happened? What happened? What happened? If nothing happened, you won't say, I won't come again. Hallelujah. Amen. So, back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Let's finish that quickly. So, the food they eat was just what Jesus was trying to do is trying to teach them what? Unity. Unity. Hallelujah. He's trying to teach them oneness, being together, togetherness. Do you understand what I'm trying to do now? That is what he's trying to teach them. And he said, this thing you should do in remembrance of me. That means what we are doing here together shows of the sacrifice of Jesus. The purpose why we are here is because of what? The sacrifice of Jesus. Abi, when an unbeliever comes into your gathering, is either he wants to accept that sacrifice or because you can't say it's part of you. Hallelujah. So our gathering together, if anybody sees, what are they doing? Why are they gathering? It's because of what? The sacrifice of Jesus. We are showing the sacrifice of Jesus till he comes. Hallelujah. So that is what it is. Showing what? The sacrifice of Jesus till he comes. So verse 21 and 22 was just a quotation from the gospel. And you see that in Luke chapter 22, 19 to 10. And then Matthew 26, 26 to 27. Hallelujah. Now let's read 26. He said, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Just what I said now. Verse 27, let's read together. See, you know, I have the authority to say everybody stand up and read now. Verse 27, let's read together. That shows what? Fellowship in dishonor. And when you dishonor the Lord's body, where is the Lord's body? The believer, Abby? The church. You dishonor the gathering of the brethren. That is what the Bible is saying there. So when you drink this cup unworthily, you are dishonoring what? The gathering of what? The brethren. And I'm saying this again. We've heard this. Prophecies were given on Wednesday. Prophecies were given during our prayer stretch last Thursday to Saturday, isn't it? As we gathering, honoring the believer next to you. See, this must be our attitude, though. This must be our attitude. Say, I honor the believer next to me. It must be our attitude. I don't know this person, Brother Divine, but for the fact that he is a believer, Chikena, I honor him, I esteem him high. Because what I'm doing is, in honoring him, I'm honoring the sacrifice of Jesus. That is what made him a believer. Remember, I'm not honoring him because he's not a believer. I'm honoring him because he's what? A believer. And what makes him a believer is the sacrifice of Jesus. So in honoring him, I'm honoring the sacrifice of who? Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm seeing him as a man purchased with the blood of Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, I'm seeing him. He was the purpose why he went to the cross. See, we must learn to do this. We must be deliberate. In fact, in court, if there's anything like the least among us, we should show him more honor. We should show him what? More honor. Not doing the class because maybe you feel you are rich. And, you know, we can't use physical things as a measure. Because you cannot be rich as, in quote, the unbeliever. What will you say about people in Dubai? They have not given birth to, but their children have wealth already waiting for them. You are still hustling. So riches, material things can never be the measure at all. Amen. It can't be the measure. That is why we fought this issue of tithing thing. You say you give so that God can. The richest tithe collector in the world is not up to the richest man in the world today. He's not, no. Tithe collector. Hallelujah. So we must honor what? The believer. Honor him. Honor her. So, Sister Buki, I honor you. Hallelujah. We must honor what? The believer. Honor. Honor. Honor, honor. Amen. Honor. Now verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh what? Damnation to himself, not discerning what? The Lord's body. In fact, that last statement has already explained that clearly. Hallelujah. So, in not honoring the Lord's body, in not honoring the believers next to you or the believer within your church unit, you cannot be blessed by that believer. See, this is clear. Let's not pretend. If I don't honor Brother Tayo, there is no way Tayo will minister to me that I will be blessed by his ministry. Hope you know. Pastor Joy said that in this morning again. Comparing Stephen and another person. He didn't pray. I'm not saying he did. It's just an instance. It's just an instance. He did not pray. And don't just wake up and start saying, "Thus said the Lord. I see good things concerning." I say, "Oh, what is this one?" That is dishonor. So, it's not because of you prayed, I'm honoring. Of course, there's a place for that. Leaders and everything. But the fact that he is what? A believer. That should sound well in you. He is educated. That's not the issue. There are more people. See, that is, oh God, the gospel is clear. Oh. You are educated. There are people that are very educated than you. You are like an illiterate before them. You are not educated. There are people that, you know, in number system, we are after zero. There is minus one, minus two, minus three. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So you are not educated. There are people that are not even close to education. They have not heard of education before. So when we start using these things as measure, hey, there will be trouble, oh. But when we say he is a believer, that is the common denominator among us. All. He is what? A believer. And therefore, I honor him. Not be who Sabi book. Hallelujah. So we must honor him. And in honoring him, when he's ministering to you, you take the word with all humility. You take it. Those are words of prophecy. You run with them.
Amen. So that person you honor, therefore, have succeeded in what? Edifying you. I've seen that several you. You know, we do ministries then in school. You honor this person. When you go and the person lay hand, you are by, he has fallen down. Well, this guy, I don't know, the guy is still standing. I'm not going to fall. Because he does not, in quote, I'm not saying falling is, do you understand my point? He has hardened his heart. I can't receive from this person. So don't measure the believer by what he does. Don't measure the believer by what he does. I've said that before. I think Randu is aware. We were there back there in school together. The pastor then I said, there is nothing he will do on earth, as in terms of misconduct, that will make me dishonor him. The only way I'll have issues, when you don't tell me the scripture is this, and you're trying to twist it to another thing. Ah, that one, Baba, sit down. Because we have suffered a lot. Except you are not committed before. In pain, tithe will come. Pastor, where are you? Because they have taught us, you know, tithe is a level. If your own is just 10%, you have not learned tithe yet too. No. There's one they'll tell you is the first. It's the first. Meaning, once the money come in, you won't spend that money. You have to remove the tithe, give it to the prophet before you can spend the remaining 90. So when the money comes, then when that our father will send small alawi, Pastor, where are you? Say, I need to come there. And I say, no, I'm crying. No, I need to come there. I want to spend the remaining 90. I have needs. And the preaching was, I have to give the 10 before I can touch the 90. Yes. Even park charges cannot come before that one. Do you understand? That is how bad it is. Then you now understand that, see, this is not it. And you now say, you are not serious. You have not suffered before. That is just the truth. You have not suffered before. When everybody is eating in church, they will take, they say, this is the body. You know, Pastor Nanka, you say, if the Jew casts you, and you say, this bread is the body of Jesus, you are in trouble. If he catches you and say, this is the body of Jesus, you are in trouble. So some folks, the holy ones, will just stand up. Remember the guys that prepared these things, though. Let's go, eat the bread. Okay, this guy cannot come now. Because they say, examine. They'll tell you, check your heart. Check your heart. Check, just check it too. Ha! Check it too before you eat damnation. Oh, God. Yes. They will start giving you testimonies on how people ate it and Roman. Oh, God. You will check. Some out of, if I don't eat this thing, what will people do? A lot of those things. It's crazy. So when you suffer like this and they don't tell you the truth, oh God, you will rejoice for it. Hallelujah. You will rejoice for it. Because finally, what they call deliverance has come on you now. Yeah. That is it. Amen. So that is what Christ was preaching. Amen. That is what he was preaching. So, verse 30, he said, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Amen. Many are weak and what? Sickly among you, and many what? Sleep. Hallelujah. Many what? Sleep. Why? You know, it said 1 Corinthians 12:26. Is it 14:26? I say, when we come together, everyone has a tongue, had a psalm, had a doctrine, and all of those things. Had a revelation, had an interpretation. This guy is sick. I don't want to minister to him. What will happen to him? Do you understand what I'm saying now? So we'll learn to, thank God he says sleep. So we'll learn to what? Edify one another. That is what he's saying. You don't honor the church. You can't be blessed by that church when they are ministering healing. But because you have offenses already inside of you, you don't honor that church. You know, there is no way you can be healed. I hope you know. Because in your heart, you have already blocked it. Anything coming, you have what? Blocked it. Amen. Amen. So, we must what? Honor the church. We must honor the church. And that thing happened to Jesus in Mark 6, Abby, 1 to when he went to Nazareth. He couldn't minister there because of what? This is the son of Joseph now. He's not the carpenter's son. And that thing limited them, not him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, knowledge is important. Knowledge is important. And what Jesus, like I said, was teaching is oneness, unity, and miss what? The brethren. So our love for one another must increase. Hallelujah. Amen. It must what? Increase. Our honor for one another must increase. Amen. Ah, our time. So the last thing we will look at now is baptism. That's another practice again. Baptism. Oh God. Andrew, you have a certificate of that one, but and you think now, but then you cannot think you do. You have to be sure you have it. Yeah. Baptism. That is another thing. That some churches, you know, behind they have a pool so that immediately you get born again, what will happen? Sharply. And I asked one guy one day during the pastor too. Say you are in Sahara. You know Sahara now. I have not no water enough for me to drink. Oh. Then I will now go and immerse you inside water. I'm not ready. You get the point now? So you preach to that person. And the person gets saved. And Sarah, there's no water. Because you are thirsty, he's thirsty. What will happen? He said, God understands. I say, yeah. See, answer. Once your message is not universal, you are filled already. You are filled. I've met somebody that said he wants to invite me to Covenant Day, a day of marriage and all of that. Amen. I said, why? He said, so that I can marry. I said, I'm married already. He said, so that I'll have peace and the rest. I said, I have peace already now. Are you causing trouble in my house? There's peace already, even in my church. He said, so that you have to. I said, guy, I dictate what I want. I have a child and I'm okay for now. So what do you want? He said, so that he now said, are you a pastor? I said, now you are working in the spirituals. Yes. He now said, later, I said, no problem. I said, see, come. And I told him, right in his place, on his disciples, once your message can affect only one and does not affect the other, you have failed already. That is not the gospel. Salvation is for every man. Every man. Every man. You are rich, you need salvation. You are poor, you need salvation. You are fat, you need salvation. You are lit. Salvation is for who? Every man. Every tribe is unique, is universal. Amen. Once your message affects only some kind of people, or God, that is not the gospel. Amen. You are telling me to have good marriage. There are some that have four wives. They are living peacefully. You have only one wife. The whole house is upside down. So it's not a function of being a believer or not. Hallelujah. It's a different thing entirely. There are some, they are not believers. Children, all the children from my belly finish. Have you heard that in the village now? They just be giving birth. They don't know what barrenness is. And you are doing Covenant Day to be fruitful. God forbid, though. It's terrible. So when you have suffered like this, sometimes they'll give you apple to... oh, God, mercy. Thank God for grace, though. Thank God for knowledge. I'm telling you. If not, some people will just be prescribing ahead of time. Day of barrenness, I never mind my chop. So that you know, you have already caged your mind ahead already. Knowledge is what can liberate you. Knowledge. 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 So we give God honor. Thanks for knowledge. For knowledge. Thank God for people like Pastor. You like it, you don't like it, they will drill you. Because if he follows our mood, do you know sometimes I'll get to church, I'll just be angry. What is this now? Yes, now. Who said me too? Okay, you too. You will just be angry. If he follows your mood, nothing will happen, no? Thank God for people like Pastor Nanka. You are praying, standing, you do like, oh, God, sit up. I want to die. Oh, Jesus. There is a WCC we went to somebody, a lady. That was when I saw people standing and sleeping. Just be sleeping. Sleeping! I'm telling you. One fell, go! Nobody even, because me, I don't even have strength. Is it you that will carry? I know we call, what is this? What kind of thing is this? That? They need to push you like that. That is deliverance. If not, you will just be a victim to all these false preachers everywhere. A victim. A victim. A victim. When you go for evangelism, you understand what I'm saying. Amen. So baptism. Many folks have always identified baptism with water. 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 There is a huge difference between Jesus' baptism and John's baptism. There's a huge difference. One has come to replace the other. There's a huge difference. Amen. The scripture says Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. John baptizes with water. And both of them have affirmed this severally in the scripture. Amen. Matthew 3:11. Quickly, please. Let's hurry up so that we can finish. Sorry for taking your time. Are we there? Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. That is the confirmation already. Does that mean what he does will be mightier than him? Amen. Whose shoe I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost. Leave the fire. With the Holy Ghost. Amen. Luke 3:16. Quickly. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoe I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost. So, baptism in or with the Holy Ghost have come to replace baptism with water. This thing, some people find it difficult to accept this thing, though. It has come to replace what? But don't worry, we'll explain later. Come to replace baptism with what? Water. Water here was a symbolic of what? The Holy Ghost. It was what? A symbolic of what? The Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1. We'll open a lot of scriptures. Acts 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days hence. 1 Corinthians 12:13. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit are we what? All baptized into what? One body. Is it talking of water? No. By what? One spirit. One spirit. So the baptism of ours is immersion into the Holy Ghost. You are being soaked in into what? The Holy Ghost. By believing the gospel. Are we together? Once an individual has believed the gospel, that person has been baptized with the Holy Ghost already. You know, a lot have confused baptism with the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is what we call baptism of the Holy Ghost. Victor, are you looking up? Or what? Amen. Once a man believes what? The gospel, he has been what? Baptized already. Matthew 28. Please fast. 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heavens and where? In earth. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them. Teaching what? All nations, baptizing them. Of course, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that was never even mentioned there. Hallelujah. Mark 16. He said at verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that is baptized, he that believeth, that is baptized, shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. So the believing one is what? The baptizing one. Hallelujah. The one that have believed is the one that have what? Been baptized. Amen. So to believe means to be baptized. Amen. We'll see that. Let's see Paul's account. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for Paul. Acts chapter 19. Quickly, please. I want everybody to be there. Acts 19. Let's just observe some things there. Are we there? Verse 1 says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain what? Disciples. Observe that word, disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you what? Received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Meaning believing is receiving what? The Holy Ghost. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Hey, look at Paul's response. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Does that mean receiving the Holy Ghost is baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because he asked them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, there are certain disciples. Now pay attention. And they said, unto what? John baptism. Unto what then were you baptized? Talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They now responded by saying what? John's what? Baptism. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto them that they should believe on him who should come after him. That is what? Christ Jesus. Paul has preached the gospel now. Abi? Now see what happened in verse 5. And when they heard this, they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were what? Baptized already. Now, to show the difference between the infilling of the Holy Ghost, what verse 6 says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, what happened? The Holy Ghost came on them and they did what? Speak in tongues and prophesy. Hallelujah. So, receiving the Holy Ghost is the baptism of what? The Holy Ghost. Believing the gospel is the baptism of what? The Holy Ghost. So all they were doing were what? John's baptism. They were still waiting for the Messiah. Meanwhile, the baptizer have come already. But they have not received the gospel. What will happen to those people if they have died like that? Israel. Amen. Amen. Please don't get tired. Now write this, please. While it is true that many continue with water baptism in the book of Acts, I want you to write this, please. It is true that many they continue with this practice in the book of Acts after redemption. In the book of Acts after redemption, just as they did with other traditions. You know, there is a lot of traditions in the book of Acts. Just as they did with other traditions. Now, put in bracket, Acts chapter 21. Are we there? Acts 21. Quickly, please. Just as they did with other traditions. Are we there? Acts 21, verse 17. Now, look at what happened, please. Okay. Are we there? And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto who? James. You know who James is now? The Baba? Okay. And all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, look at Paul's testimony. He declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. That should be a source of joy for them. Abi? But look at what they did. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Abi? And said unto him, thou seest, brother. Now, they are telling Paul what they have done again. How many what? Thousands of Jews there are which what? Believe. And what? They are all what? Zealous of what? The law. Look at your Bible, everybody, please. Look at your Bible. Verse 20 together. And when they had it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believed, and they are all zealous of what? The law. And that law, you know, is a lot of practices. Amen. Amen. So, Bible tradition or Bible doctrines instruct that all symbols ended with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Anything symbolic, the cross, the bread, the wine, the goat sacrifice, the chicken, innocent chickens, they kill and everything, all ended with the death, burial, and resurrection of who? Jesus. Today, in Christianity, there is nothing symbolic again. If you are doing this to represent this, that is not it at all. Everything has what? Ended with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. All those things have ended. Hallelujah. Amen. They were only representing who? Christ. Coming of Christ. Coming of Christ. The blood. Or they drank juice. So they will say, is it juice? Wine. They will say is what? The blood. They eat bread. They will say it's the body of Christ. Pointing at something. Abi, they killed the goat. They will say sacrifice of Jesus. Pointing at something. Hallelujah. Pointing at something. Colossians. Yeah, 2:16. Are we there? For by him were all things what? Created. That are in heaven and that are where? In earth. Visible and what? Invisible. Whether they be throne. Sorry? 2:16. And everybody was just quiet. Are you sure you're following your Bible? But I said 2:16 now. Okay, we're meditating. So this is how you should have allowed me going to go into error. And you are saying you are pondering. I honor you. Okay, 2:16. It says, see, let's start from 14. Let's start from 13. So, okay, let's just start from 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had it quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to where? His cross. Having spoiled principalities and power, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in what? Meat or drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is what? Christ. The reality is what? Christ. Hallelujah. Pointing to who? Christ. Amen. The body is what? Christ. Let's see if Paul's instruction to the Corinthians church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Amen. Are we there? All right, we'll soon finish. Verse 17. Let's read together. For Christ sent me not to what? Baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of what? None effect. Christ sent him not to do what? To baptize, but to do what? To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. So today we have the water, which is what? The Holy Ghost. The reality we have in where? In Christ Jesus. The water today is what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. John 7. John 7. Close. We'll finish so that the rice will not be cold. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? Drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said,
out of him shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Verse 39 together. But this he spake, Spirit, which they that believe should what? For the Holy Ghost. Because what happened? Hallelujah. So our water today is what? The Holy Ghost. Our baptism today is what? The Holy Ghost. If you still choose to go and baptize, you just want to swim. Simple. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have what? Christ. Okay. Trying to stop, but go soon. Yeah. So baptism is a concept that explains identification. We are baptized into or onto something. Baptism is a concept that explains what? Identification. The element of baptism explains the essence. The element of what? Baptism explains the essence. John baptized with what? Water. Water is just a figurative concept for washing and newness in the scripture. Water is what? A figurative concept for washing and newness in what? The scripture. Thus, John's baptism was unto repentance. It was just turning their hearts to something. Unto repentance. Unto repentance. Amen. And unto repentance. Now, so since John's message was Christ, his baptism was to turn Israel's attention to who? To Christ. That was the purpose. It was to turn Israel's attention to who? To Christ. Who was to be appeared and shown forth by who? John. He's the one that had that message, not you and I. He was there to turn people. His preaching was to turn people to who? To Christ. And as a result of that reception of that teaching, what happened? They baptized, showing that they have received what? That teaching. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Jesus will only baptize with the Holy Ghost. And we see that in Acts chapter 1 verse 5, where it says, John truly baptized with water, but not many things were now. You shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the element is different. When you say John, what is the element? Water. But when we say Jesus, the element is what? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, unto what is baptism? What is the purpose of baptism? The purpose of baptism. The purpose of baptism. Seriously, we'll soon finish. Amen? I have to just finish this. So, Acts chapter 19 again, quickly. You know, in verse 1, they use the word disciples. Of course, we shouldn't be confused about that word disciples, thinking when we say disciple, that means they are Christians. No. Disciple is just people that adherents, what? Followers. Amen. Adherents, people that, you know, the extreme, you understand, disciples, student. Amen. So the use of that word there was just saying they are what? Adherents or they are what? Followers. Now the next question is followers of what? So we see that in verse 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said what? Unto John's baptism. So we can simply say they are followers of what? John the Baptist. Or John's what? Baptism. Do you understand? Good. Followers of what? John's what? Baptism. Amen. So they never heard of the Holy Ghost, even though John spoke about Christ. They never heard of what? The Holy Ghost. They never heard of the Holy Ghost. Thus, they never believe in Jesus. Because it is the reception of the Holy Ghost that points that what? We believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. And in verse 4, what happened? Paul preached Christ unto them. And what happened? They were baptized. Glory to Jesus. Now you might be asking, do we have baptism in the New Testament? Yes. Yes. Ephesians 4. Baptism in the New Testament, Ephesians 4. Verse 4. Are we there? Let's read together.
There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one baptism, one faith, and what? One baptism. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. There's only one. Glory to Jesus. So this is the baptism of Christ by what? The Holy Ghost. We'll see that in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. Romans 6, 3 to 4. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by what? Baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? The newness of what? Of life. Hallelujah. So this leads to what? That baptism leads to complete identification with the finished work of redemption. Complete identification with the finished work of what? Of redemption. And finally, what happened to a man baptized with the Spirit? When a man is baptized with the Spirit, what happened to him? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Are we there? For by one Spirit are we all what? Baptized into what? One body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in what? One Spirit. Are we there? Okay, so the baptism unites us with Christ and his body. This baptism unites us with what? Christ and his body. And we are recipients of what? The Spirit of God. That is what baptism is. Recipients of what? The Spirit of God. Recipients of the Spirit of God. Go further. Galatians chapter 3. For as many as of you as have been baptized into where? Christ. Have what? Put on Christ. We have what? Put on Christ. Verse 28 together. There is neither Jews nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in where? In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we are all what? Baptized in Christ Jesus. So this makes us one with the Master. He has the same Spirit as us. Hallelujah. We are clothed with the anointing of the Anointed One. 3:27. Amen. Titus chapter 3. Don't worry. Knowledge. 3:4. So imagine somebody now come and ask you baptism. You just sit that guy down and finish him there. Are we there? Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of our God, love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy, he what? Saved us. How? By the washing of the regeneration and what? The renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of what? The Holy Ghost. So baptism is washing. The washing of the Spirit. The washing of the Spirit means renews. The washing of the Spirit renews. The washing of the Spirit cleanses us. The washing of the Spirit purifies us. And what we have today is the new creature. Hallelujah. Because of the washing of the Spirit, we are bold to say we are what? New creature. We are new. We are new. Tomorrow, we are new creature. Forever, we are what? New creature. Hallelujah. Amen. So, when we hear the gospel and believe it, we are baptized by what? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the new covenant provides the better. Of course, the old covenant has some better stuff. There is goats there. Abby? The priest had opportunity to eat goats and the rest, isn't it? They are looking at me as if they don't know. There are wines there, pointing to something.
There are breads and all manners there, isn't it? Hallelujah. But today in the New Testament, we have only one. And that is what? Christ Jesus. You talk about the goat, Christ Jesus. You say the lamb, Christ Jesus. The bread, Christ Jesus. The wine, Christ Jesus. One sacrifice has been made for all. Hallelujah. Amen. One sacrifice has been made for all. So in him, we have one baptism. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. Just one. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So, Ephesians 4, 5. Finally, second to the last. Second to the last. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So this is what the baptism of the Spirit. Even Acts 1 again. You remember? Verse 5. He said what? John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be, not many days from now, you shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is what? The baptism of the Spirit. So today, the believing one is the baptizing what? One. He's the one that has been baptized already. He is washed and united with Christ, the Master. Glory to Jesus. Amen. So that is what baptism is. That is what baptism is. And these are practices that some people or some churches has built, a doctrine around, has built a structure around. Right inside the church, you receive, they throw you inside water and say you are baptized. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you ask them, is it the saving, believing in Jesus that saves you, or the baptism, you will start hearing different things. Hallelujah. They will say two. What if there's only one that is available and there's no water, and God will understand? Do you understand? Our faith is not about God will understand. Our faith is explained in Christ Jesus. It's there. It's clear. Hallelujah. It's not a probability. One over this. No, no. It's certain. It's one at all time. Glory to Jesus. Let's be on our feet and thank God for this. Thank God for this. We are the ones that have been baptized today. Not water, but full of the Holy Ghost. Not water, but full of the Holy Ghost. We understand the essence of what baptism is today. We've been baptized. We honor one another. We esteem the fellow believer as the one that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Oh, glory to Jesus. Manto shalabande ekeredish. Mando zuba balelelelele shapakata lebrudus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, lega bush kapatane lelelele shapapandos kebelele ishoda. Arududududu shiketila. Arediba mano sevilililililili. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the epistles. Thank you. We understand God today because we are the one that have the Holy Ghost residing inside of us. Oh, we understand him by his spirit. Oh, God is not
mysterious to me. I understand him. By his spirit, God is not mysterious to me. I understand him.